Rooster Tail Talk, the podcast dedicated to everything about the sport that we all love, hydroplane racing. I am your host, David Newton, and it's time once again, so sit back, relax, and welcome to Rooster Tail Talk. Welcome back, listeners and race fans. We're on to episode 116, and today is part two of my interview with Dave Valancourt. I left you on a cliffhanger last week before we got a chance to talk about these model kits, the 125th model kits that are coming out. He went to China and did a lot of work with his team and manufacturers to get some pretty cool kits that are going to be rather inexpensive coming out this summer. And you're going to get some more information on those kits, what they'll entail. He talks a little bit about pricing, release dates, and just some exciting, fun things with that. And it's something that the sport hasn't really had, in many years, these little model kits. It's going to be fun for kids of all ages, including myself. I'm looking forward to those. And before we dive into this, I want to give a quick shout out and thanks to Mickey Hill. He suggested I reached out to Dave Valancourt and get this interview, and I'm really glad he did because I had a fun talk with Dave, not only about these model kits, but just about hydroplane racing, some of our histories with the sport. Got the chance to know Dave a little bit better. I met Dave several times over the years, and of course, he knew my father and had some conversations with Dave before, knew him more so just for his work in the sport, but it was great to talk with Dave more about his contributions and his marketing visions for the sport. So I hope you enjoy the rest of this talk, and we'll jump right back in where we left off last week so we can hear more about these model kits coming out this summer.
The model kit this year, that's a lot of work that I've put in with my team and exterior people. So, I mean, without the support of the hydroplane community, there's no way it can be done. The tooling, there's, I think, 9 tools altogether. I think they weigh more than a hydroplane does combined, just the tools.
Wow.
They're a couple tons each. So,
wow.
So a small car, each of them. Solid steel. The ability to produce, we can produce about 300,000 pieces off of that tool, but we only are planning on running 1,500. They will last for decades.
Yeah,
want to run them again, so we built them to last and to be as close to snap together as possible. So,
okay. Well, let's talk more about those. You've tease some pictures, and some other people have teased some pictures on social media, and there's quite a few people, I think, clamoring to get some of those. Some model kits of the current hydroplanes that are out there. How many different kits are going to be available, and what's the size of these?
They are 125th scale. I think I have one of them right here. So they've got a turbine engine. We actually 3D scanned the Home Streets motor. Because there isn't a turbine model out there of any size of that T55 that we could find, at least. The Allison motor, we took lots of pictures, and we got some drawings from the Allison Corporation. So there's a website that has 3D printed or 3D parts or 3D drawings from years ago, and we had to basically adapt that from the Allison archives, essentially, or the GM archives is how we got the drawings. And then Jerry Nellis, who's an incredible model builder, took those drawings, and then we had some other parts, and then hand whittled some stuff, and then handmade a full prototype of this. And your dad's plans that he did, from the Budweiser days, we used that as kind of some rough drawings to be able to scale it down. Cool. And went from there. Your dad's legacy is in there too. So
I'd love to hear that.
Appreciate the help with that as well.
Yeah, of course.
So that's what we're doing now. And so it's Right now, the production of them is going to start running on the 4th of April. We're going to start injection molding. I'm going over on the 7th. So we'll be done with the injection molding when I get there on the 9th. And then we're doing packaging and we're working on decals and all the rest of that stuff and finalizing. The problem is a lot of the teams still aren't set with all their sponsors. And so unfortunately, you know, we'll probably have a second decal sheet in each of those like last minute big things. So that's where we're at, and aim to have them in hands the end of May for the Richland testing. So into the
So people will be able to purchase them end of May over in Tri-Cities.
Yeah, they should be able to do that. And I think Griggs is going to carry them in their stores over there, and their 5 stores over in Eastern Washington.
Oh, wow.
Ace Hardware for those. And he may have some deals with other teams to put them in their store as well. So look at that. The Hydroplane Museum is committed for a bunch of them too. We're pulling out some. They'll be doing a whole bunch of different ones. So, I mean, we'll have decal sets. We got the permission yesterday for Oberto, which was, it took a while because Obertos are all gone.
Right.
So we did get the permission to use it there. I think we have, what is there, 8 teams or is there 9? 9 different boats?
That's a good question.
we are short of 1.
Right? Okay.
Now, everybody else is committed to doing a kit. And we have one that's kind of the outlier, and we'll see what happens with that. Usually peer pressure works really well in that.
Yeah. Well, if you have 8 out of 9 doing it, why hang out?
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
Your fans are not happy with you at that point.
There might be some fans switching teams there.
Yeah. Because they can have their model kit.
Yeah. All right. And then, so these will be available also at the races around the circuit, correct?
Right. The teams will be taking them with them. So we don't sell them. My company, DA International, doesn't get involved with the sales of out to the general public. You know, we'll be here to support and whatever. If people have got questions or they need a spare part or something like that, or something broke, we'll have replacement parts and be able to do that. It'll all be in the instruction kit on how to contact us to be able to, you know, because you get about a 2%, 1.5 to 2% defect rate on manufacturing. And so we know, you know, there'll be missing parts or broken parts or, you know, misformed, and we'll take care of it. So.
Okay. And it even comes with paint. So it has decals. Is there anything the modeler needs, or does it come with everything pretty much in there?
Well, it depends on which boat you have. I mean, so if you've got like the Griggs, he'll be selling paint at the store that will be matching for spray paint, because you really want to spray the hull. And really just the Krylon, the 2X, you know, it's actually just Toyota red, as from what I understand, is the red for the U3. any of the plastic, any of the spray paints from Testers to Krylon will work perfect for that. But the rest of it will have, you know, for the driver, you know, the engine stacks, that kind of stuff. You'll have the 6 or 7 basic colors. They're acrylic paints. We try to do enamel, and we've been battling it for the last week trying to get enamel, oil-based enamel in here. And it's really difficult, and then it makes the kits hazardous. So, and then we'd have to ship it as a hazardous goods. And then you can't airship anything and everything. So we're going with a glossy acrylic oil base, but it's not an enamel. If you're familiar with like any of the Japanese models, you know, the transformers and that kind of stuff that you can buy, they're all using the acrylic as well. And so that's the way we're going to go with that. So you'll get paint, you'll get some brushes, and you'll get a tube of glue. But any of the tester stuff off of the shelf at any of the hobby shops, we'll put it together that way. And you can paint it with any of those. It's all compatible. Okay. But you will get the starter set to do that. I would recommend get some spray paint.
Or
get yourself a little airbrush and
thin out
the paints. So, so that's, it's going to come complete. And everybody's like, really? They will last for about a year or two, but the paints will dry up. So that's why Revel and those guys usually don't put the paints in the kits. First, it's a secondary source of income. The second thing is they get complaints all the time after they've been sitting around for 10 years. That, hey, the paint and the glue's dried. <That's what>.
Okay. All right. And I heard a price, but I'm not sure if I correct on that. What should the consumer expect for price?
So somewhere in the $49.50 to $54, but most what I've heard is $50. But I'm not the one pricing them out. Mm-hmm. They are fundraisers for the team, so I mean, and basically the cost is based on a lot of tooling expense and not so much the kit expense. It's just, recoup the investment and the tools and break even is kind of the thing for this year. So,
yeah, well, it's fantastic. I think it's, I predict it'll be a great hit with the fans. I can't recall the last time the sport had a kit like this. Was it the Testers Budweiser kit in like 76 or so?
Yeah, I think the last I saw they had it was 79 was the last 79. Year selling them. I think, 76. It was the old pan pack Budweiser. Mm-hmm. That was the last. And that's kind of what inspired me to do this is because when I was a kid, I loved those things. And then I was on eBay one day. I was listing something and then I saw the Budweiser kit on there and it was like $150 and it went up to like $175. That's crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy for the $9.95 kit at the time. I started talking to Dave Williams and I said, what do you think? And he goes, well, there's like 350 people that you could count on to buy one of these things. I was like, okay. And then I started thinking about it. I goes, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to do this because it's just too cool and nobody's done it in a long time. So, and then I kind of, I was teasing out, but I really wanted to get pictures from, each of the things because we're still working on the box artwork for all the teams. Mm-hmm. I think we only have one set right now. But the rest of them and all the photographers out there that you know of have all, lent a hand and said, hey, what about this one? What about this one? Herman and Dave Cormier, then
Denzel.
Of course, Chris. Chris has been a great. So, I mean, I can't thank him enough. He's been fantastic. And Dave has been really good as well. And there's some other individual out there that have sent some other stuff in. So, we really appreciate it. We're, of course, going to give him photo credit on the inside, unfortunately, because we can't. We're going to put it right on the outside of the box at photo credits, and it's going to have everybody's name on there because we don't remember which one came from which, unfortunately. So we're like, which one is this? it kind of got mixed up a little bit on who had what. So we're going to cover our bases on that and give credit where it's due.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. I just love to see this happen this year. I'm thankful. I know a lot of fans are excited for it. I know a lot of older kids like myself will be very excited to get those, but hopefully it'll be good for the little ones like my, growing up and watching the sport. Get them a little bit more involved. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because last year at the Madison race, they were racing the diecast down the gutter. And I was posted. I was like, oh, this is awesome. So, it's always fun to see your stuff kind of being being used for things. And, in the Hydroplane Museum, all the little USB flash drives that we've done, I think we're up to 50 of those little buggers.
Wow.
There's a lot of them. I don't even think we have all of them. We usually keep one or two just to have as a reference because our factory tends to lose some dies. They're not very big. And so now we've in the last couple of years since COVID, we've actually taken the molds with us and we store them in our office in Shenzhen. So we still have them because we lost a couple. And I was kind of ticked off that we had to remake them and they're not exactly the same. So it's kind of like that.
Bummer. Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything you're planning for the future, or are you still trying to get through the 1/25th scale kit and all that's going around with that right now?
Well, it's those right there working on some die casts. I've got a couple sponsors interested in doing die cast. That's it for right now. And there's some crew uniforms we're working on and some GP stuff as well. But it's actually pretty quiet this year. And it's, I think, the changing of the sport by the H1 type thing. And, you know, I've been watching H1 or the E1 series, Europe, the electric powerboat races.
Yeah.
I see. I'm going to go here to one of the races probably in Spain in June. So we're going to pop down there. Sophia and I are going to go down to it. You know, and John Peters, who's one of the outboard guys and has the world's record of the fastest electric hydroplane and over 111 miles an hour or something like that in an electric boat. He's a team principal for one of the teams and Team Blue Rising. And it's interesting because they've got a little different they've got a hugely different format.
Right.
You know, it's not just left turns, go fast and turn left. It's more like sailboat racing where they're making them work and then they're splitting it up as two different drivers and two different, women and men, you know, racing each other separately. It'd be interesting, you know, I'm not involved with any of the H1 portion of it, but spicing it up a little bit, doing some multi, you know, male and female drivers for the same hull and changing them up and have them race by race time rather than their gender. So that might be something interesting, but you know, that's for them to figure out what they're going to do to get eyeballs and get people more involved. So, and I'm sure they've got some plans of what they're doing. So, and I wish them the best. And of course, I'm here to help with anything I can for the whole sport. So,
yeah. Well, I'd love to hear after you go to the event, what your take is on that. Cause I'm pretty intrigued with the E1 concept because it seems like they're trying to really introduce some new technology with a lot of things. And, like with the buoys, they're not anchored buoys. They looks like they're positioned on like a satellite system. And they're,
yes, yeah.
Yes, okay, yeah. And they can kind of maneuver them out there. And just a lot of other different things they're doing for the sport, but also helping out, from what they've said, that they're helping out the cities and trying to leave some electronic charging stations and do other positives for the community as well. So it's just really intriguing what they're doing out there.
Yeah, it's, you know, they've really hit it with their marketing. I mean, they have some pretty deep pockets. The Saudi fund is helping them, or I don't know if it's PIF, I think is what it's called. I don't know, it's a public investment fund of one of the countries, and you know, they're doing it. Lucid Motors seems to be one of their sponsors as well. So they're trying to get heavy hitters out there for awareness of it. And they're doing an ecological or ecological kind of play on it of, you know, we don't want to disturb the seabed. We want to raise above the seabed. We want to keep the noise down, that type of thing. And, you know, that's where the floating buoys with the GPS controlled things come about. Their telemetry apparently is very similar to the Formula One stuff. Mm-hmm. I understand, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty incredible stuff. I did hear that somebody was telling me that those buoys are great, but once in a while they'll go off on their own. So, yeah, because even the sail, it comes from the sailboat world.
Okay.
And sailboats use them, and once in a while those things will just go streaking across.
All right. Well, you gotta keep an eye out for where the course goes, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. No,
that's what I, if the sport can mirror kind of the E1 series, kind of shaking it up, mm-hmm. rather than just a NASCAR type of, you know, go around left turns, You know, I know they don't work well in right turns. That's what Formula One boats do. But if there is something that they can add in to spice it up to get more interest by the younger generation.
Yeah.
And from there. So, I mean, you know, maybe it's the turbine driving an electric motor, a generator that becomes a, you know, a smaller turbine that, you know, spins to an electric motor.
Yeah.
As the power source. So you get dual power source instead of just batteries. I don't know, you know, that whole technology basis, but that's, that might be an interesting future.
That would be interesting because that possibly could open up a lot of doors for different sponsorships and manufacturers to enter. Quite interesting. Okay. We'll bring it back more towards H1. I just think about marketing and I just think back to like the 80s and 90s when I was a kid, and it seemed like most teams had like a tent or trailers and had lots and lots of merchandise for sale. And that kind of went away, but seems like, you know, you're trying to bring some of that back to the sport. Just how do you feel that it compares now to back then?
Oh, it's a whole different thing. I think 2006, 2007 was kind of, 2008 was kind of the highlights of my side of the merchandising, because Budweiser was doing it in the 80s and the 70s, and they had Joan and all those guys doing the merchandising things. And they were subsidized by, you know, Bernie's program. And so, you know, they were making money at it, but it was more about visibility,
yeah.
With the teams and stuff. It's about visibility of the sponsor. And it's still kind of, that still is what it is today, is visibility. You know, years, we used to do floating keychains with little floating hydros inside of them. We had clocks with those things. We had pens. We had pens where they'd race across there. Even KVI and KOMO got into it and did a bunch of floating hydroplanes across there for the telecast at the time. You know, there was just a lot of stuff that we've done in the past, drinking cups, everything else. So the diecasts are pretty much, that's kind of the winner. I think we've ran a total of about 160,000 of them. So between all the teams, the Mariners.
Yeah.
So
just a few. All right.
Just a few. Yeah.
I believe were you behind kind of Oberto and Home Street having that dome tent out there as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had one, we had a blimp too, a hydroplane blimp. Oh, really? We flew over the Rainier Avenue store. So we filled it with helium. It took like four tanks of helium to get it up there. And it was just winding around and all kinds of crap. So it was a good idea. And it was, I don't know if it was badly executed. We just, it was just the wrong spot for it, at the right time.
Yeah. So,
but it was pretty cool. It was a double-sided hydro.
Okay. Ship.
And I think it's still, I think it's in their rafters up at down in Kent in the Alberto place. And then there was a giant hydro we did one year. The dome tents for everybody from Home Street to who else was it? American Family Insurance did one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Home Street did a couple. So Charlie and Nancy did a couple of those. We had different sizes as well. I think it was first Alberto had one. So we had two different Oberto ones, a smaller and a really big one for the Pasco side and the Richland side. We had that. And then Home Street's got a couple of them still. But I haven't had another one. We're doing just more of the pop-up tents for some team. So they're not like the easy ups. Their frames are like twice as wide and they're channeled, aluminum channels that, these things are really heavy duty. So, I mean, it's because they get trashed.
Yeah.
Pretty much every year we got to do a new top for them. So.
Well, they're out in the elements and the wind and all that. So they have to go through quite a bit.
Well, when they get packed up is when they get hurt.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's in a rush to get out of here.
Right. Yeah. The final heat is done. It's 100 and whatever degrees. They're ready to go home.
Heads down.
All right. Well, I imagine you're a collector. Do you have like a prized piece of memorabilia that is your own or maybe not your own that was produced?
There's a couple things that I really, really cherish. And I think my number one is there's a painter out there. His name's Pete Shilley, who I started racing radio controlled boats with in what, 1987 or 86. We did the Electric Thunders with Tracy Osterhout.
Yeah.
And we were 1/16ths, and we were doing electric motors back then. And that's how I met Pete. So, I mean, been friends for many, many, many years. And I always enjoy talking to him. But when my son was born, about a year and a half or 2 years later, I asked him to come paint a mural on the wall. And he painted my son's bedroom with the Pico flip, where it had the mountain in the background.
Oh,
and
so wow. Painted
that, and he put Andrew on the tail instead of U00 or whatever it was. So, and to this day, so my son's moved out and we've remodeled the whole room because he used to have this bunk bed and everything. It's still there. And I threatened to cut the drywall out to keep that painting. So, but my wife let, us just keep it and just paint around it and everything else. And so, I think that's my thing that I love the most. As far as memorabilia, I've got like pieces of the slow-mo on the wall in a box. And Pete also painted a piece of the Thriftway, the one that hit the Coast Guard, I think. And I got a piece of that with a painting of the Thriftway on the actual deck piece of wow. that hanging office. And then my staff for Christmas, about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, got me they wanted to get me something for Christmas. And they talked to David Williams, and he somehow got a hold of Jim Harvey's crew his work overalls, the white ones with the pay and pack logo. And so I got that in a hanging box and pictures of him wearing it and working on the engine with it, and signed pay and pack buttons with George Henley and from Jim as well. So I think that's my coolest thing, because it came from my staff, and it means a lot that my staff would think about me that way. So it was awesome that way. So that's, I think those are my three real pieces. I've got, like, I don't have a prop. That's the only thing that I need to get a prop. That one broken. You have a pair of Allison. I have an Allison and a Rolls Royce piston up there on a trophy thing that cool. I keep here. And then, and I think that's, and then I've got some, boxes of other stuff. I have Colonel Schley's helmet replica on the wall.
Okay.
See it back there. And there's a whole thing up on the top that's, it's got the box and everything. And
okay. Man, this is quite unique items. They're really bigger than I thought they would be. That's awesome. It does. Yeah. I couldn't imagine growing up and having a mural in my room of a hydroplane. That's awesome.
I know. I wanted my kids to. I guess I channeled my love for boat racing through my children. So I forced them to be that. But it also helped him get in college too. Between on his resume, race boat driver since 9 and built his own boat and flies airplanes and, the whole nine yards. And
man,
so he had an experience to tell for his college resume. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, with your kids' passion, do you, my last question for you here is, do you foresee them having a goal of driving an unlimited one day?
I don't think so. They don't have, they raced with everybody from Carson Kelly to, Daniel Wyatt's kids. And and Finley Eccles and all those guys, they have this fire in their belly to basically race around. My daughter's thing was, she'd let Carson Kelly and Wyatt Dingman beat themselves up and, basically wreck themselves. And then she would get third place. She would get first place because they'd jump the gun or do something stupid type thing. Not 10-year-old male kids with testosterone at that level. So, you know, they enjoy doing it and they enjoy hanging out with me and doing that. And I think it's more of a family thing, but I don't foresee either of them driving an Unlimiteds. Sophia is interested in the E1 series. The boats do go slower. I mean, they're only in the 50 mark, but it's about skill. And she's really interested in ocean environmental things and Europe. And they're going to Hong Kong in November, which is my playground. And my friends are part of the yacht club there and they're sponsoring. And so I'm dragging everybody. They're all going with us. So, and our friends that moved here from Hong Kong are going to come back as well and for the race for the week. So we're going to do some work and then also play. And of course get great food in Hong Kong. And, so it's, that's exciting for us as we get to play in Hong Kong. That's my passion there. We'll see what happens. You know, you never say never. I want them to do whatever they want. So, and that's what parenting is.
So. Right. Encourage them to do, what spurs their passions. So, well, but thank you, Dave, for doing all you do for the sport and all the marketing and promotions and toys you make. And I'm excited to get a few kits this summer.
We'll take care of you on that. So, I mean, and it's funny because my guys, so you may see some stuff on eBay from us and me clearing out old stuff. And all the money that we raise from that, from selling on eBay, goes to our employees' lunch fund. So we stock the refrigerator with stuff and we buy lunch for everybody. And so all the, cause it's all just old inventory for us and, you know, people will dig it out. We've got 10,000 square feet down in Soto and, got a lot of stuff there. And so we still have, you know, stuff from the, back in 2001 or 2002, we'll creep up, we'll find a box of crap in there and what? Where'd that come from? eBay. All
right. Well, we'll have to put a link in the bio for the episode to let listeners in on your store and see what pops up.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're actually going to do a website that's not part of our regular website for the model kits and, you know, giving people tips on how to assemble them and that type of thing. And so we'll have a fun little site for that type of thing. So,
well, thanks for talking, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on, and hopefully I didn't bore everybody and talk too much about my kids. But, you know, as a parent, you always are, you know, trying to, you know, work for your kids is what it is. So.
Oh, yeah, I totally understand. I do the same with my son. So it's all good.
No, I don't think you bored anyone, Dave. I appreciate the fun interview you had, and I really love talking about sharing this passion with our families and friends. And hopefully as a listener, you can do the same with this fun sport. But for the podcast, we're going to take a week off. We've got a couple of great interviews lined up. I've already completed. I've got to go through the editing process, but also balance a few things in life as well. I'm looking forward to getting those out and look for some releases on who they will be. I think one you'll be surprised on and one you already know. So I'll tell you, it's Steve David. We'll have him on one of the next upcoming episodes. But look for a week off. We'll come back and you can have more of our wonderful hydroplane content once again. And if you have not done so, please like and subscribe on our platforms. We're on all the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Please hit that like and subscribe buttons. Appreciate getting all the shares and likes and followers out there. Love to see this continue to grow and prosper as we continue to add more content this summer. I've got a few others on the hooks. I'm excited to get on the podcast. Just trying to get some scheduling done right. Also, look for in the near future, I've got some great buttons done by the Hydro Man or the Button Man or Button Dude, Gary Laws. He's got some buttons that he made for the podcast. We're going to be throwing those up for sale as some donations to help fund this podcast for this summer. But that's all I got for today. So until next time, I hope to see you at the races.